Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vaughn Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Another happy Monday to you guys. And I hope you all had a great Easter. You know me, Easter for me pretty much was just chilling. I mean, that's really holidays really are. I mean, we did do all the fun stuff, like coloring eggs. Of course, we did the Easter egg hunt, and we got three kids. One who's really young. He's two, and he's just trying to figure out what the hell's going on, but he's picking up eggs, put them in his basket. He's just walking around slowly. Then I got the oldest one, who's 8 or 9, who's really quick, and he's just grabbing all the eggs. And of course I got the kid in the middle, who's 5. She'll be 6 in 2 weeks. She's screaming because the oldest kid's getting all the eggs. And I have to tell the oldest kid, hey, try and pass up some eggs. You put some money in the eggs, or you put some chocolate in them. In my case, I put chocolate, in a few of them. And when it's hot outside, well, that stuff melts. And of course, my 2-year-old had the stuff all over him, on top of all the markers he was coloring himself with. But anyways, it was a pretty... Other than that, it wasn't bad of an Easter. I mean, my daughter has a birthday coming up next week. And so, of course, Disney on Ice is here. Or it's coming next week. So, she loves that Moana and Frozen stuff. So, I got her tickets to Disney on Ice. And I got her good seats. And it's funny because, the tax return came. I wanted to pay off a good bit of bills just debt. I wanted to eliminate a lot of it. Although, most of it's going to be gone after, end of this year. At least it's on track to be, according to payments. But I was hoping to have an opportunity to get it killed right then and there. But, of course... Yeah, it's spring break. And I got birthdays coming up. Two kids' birthdays. The Houston Rodeo, of course, was another factor. That's money itself. And then, Disney on Ice. Yeah, that happens pretty much every tax season. That's when all the big things come out, and then once you get your refund, of course, all the big things happen, and of course, you gotta do them. Part of adulting. Anyways, enough about that crap. Jeff Capel had his press conference on Thursday and knocked out of the ballpark. I guess we're going to compare press conferences between Stallings and Capel. Panther Lair had a thing on, I guess Peak was ranking the press conferences and comparing them. Obviously, Capel hit this one out of the park, which you have to at this point. I mean, he's a great speaker. Which is what you have to be, even as a coach. You got to be able to, you know, articulate things. And part of coaching is also politicking. And that's the thing about politicians themselves. They got to be great speakers. Because that's how you get your voters. And that's how you get your followers. Because if you're not a good public speaker, then, well, yeah. I mean, George W. Bush was a nice guy. As people say. But, one thing I noticed about him is he wasn't all that great of a public speaker. At times. Of course, our last president, Barack Obama, was really good. And in some ways, you can say Trump is good. Obviously, he speaks his mind. But he also, like a politician, you gotta sell your people on things. And of course, he sold them on a bunch of stuff. Which we probably won't get into too much. Because, yeah. And he, of course, won the White House. Well, he pretty much killed the Republicans in the primary. But, I didn't think he'd go through with the presidential nomination at all. I just thought maybe for him it was to brag, but I think at one point he got so deep that he had to just go with it. But, anyways, Cable did pretty well. I mean, having Dick Groat in the crowd was probably a plus, too, because Groat's a Duke guy, so he got to point him in the crowd and say, it's good to see him here and blah, blah, blah. It was good, because, of course, they had, Dick Groat down there. They honored him at halftime at the Duke game earlier this year. And, of course, I saw some players. The players were in attendance, too, I saw. And I'm hoping most of them come back. Well, two of them, are confirmed of coming back, and hopefully more do. Although, I think probably, I guess Marcus Carr supposedly may stay. I think Parker Stewart's gone, because his dad released a statement about it all, and pretty much he's gone. I don't see him come back to Pitt. And I think he's got a lot more interest from a lot of other schools that he really... He has a pick of where he wants to go now. I mean, he had a really good freshman year. And I pretty much knew he was shopping around the moment he was on his Twitter account posting his highlight videos. I mean, some players do that, but just the timing of it, it seemed like he was already advertising himself. But we'll see what the coach does. We'll see how he assembles a staff. And just go from there. I mean, that's all he can really do at this point. As far as press conferences go, Kevin Stallings really never had a chance at his press conference because, Scott Barnes had to do his first. And then, of course, and he got grilled, basically, on the process of selecting the coach. And I guess he got a little irritated and basically said, this is the guy who's leading our ship, and if nobody, once likes him, then they're not in the right place. So, Barnes was already feeling the heat, and of course, when you heard what happened after the press conference with Stallings' wife and him, there you go. basically, Stallings was going to have to really have a much better speech than Jeff Capel to actually win anybody over. And he didn't. And, of course, he as the season went on and then as, you know, the 2 years went on, he really didn't do himself any favors. And really, his personality just really was, I mean, he really was a right fit for the pit at all. His personality just wasn't right for this school at all. Maybe what he did worked at Vanderbilt, but I guess they got tiring after a while and they parted ways with him. And of course, we ended up with him on our lap. Thanks to Scott Barnes, of course. But Barnes knew he was toast at that point, so he jumped ship months later. And that's that. But Heather Light did a hell of a job. And, of course, she said after Hurley, this was her next call. And I'm guessing Miller was interested in the job. And I guess Boosters tried to get him an interview at least. But Pitt decided not to go that route. And it was the right route to go because Sean Miller has too much baggage right now. And maybe he's not guilty of what he's doing, but he just got too much tied to him right now, and it just isn't good. And it's not like Sean Miller didn't have opportunities to come here. He had plenty of them, it just didn't work out. He didn't want it. But anyway, enough rambling about all that. March Madness concludes tonight. We got Villanova in Michigan. So we got two really, really good games. Or two really, really good teams, I should say, not games. I know it's Monday when I start saying that stuff, but you got Villanova, who's obviously been great all year. And you got Michigan, who's just hot, just got hot at the right time. So as we look at the games for the weekend, Loyola Chicago led at halftime, but then Michigan made adjustments, and they started playing. They got more physical, and they started playing inside, and they made Loyola Chicago look like the mid-major 11 seed team that we're all used to seeing, basically. You know, Loyola Chicago looked a lot different in that. You know, they just worked up. They weren't able to score, and by the time they were able to get anything together, the game was pretty much over. And I guess the big topic, obviously, was Sister Jean, and I did think it was getting kind of out of hand with the media. I guess all wanting to talk to her when they showed the comparisons of the rooms, where her room was full and her players' room was empty. You know, was media room was empty pretty much. And you know, it's not really Sister Jean's fault. I mean, she's 90-something years old. And she got to see her team do something amazing. Although I wouldn't consider her a true fan, because true fans have at least one delusional bracket pull where a team wins it all. We've done it. During the Jamie Dixon years, when Pitt was really good, even when Howell was there, I always had at least one bracket where Pitt won it all. Because you just never knew. I did that for a while, and then, of course, 2010-2011, I actually had them losing to Butler in the second round. I just got realistic about it and said, yeah, if there's one game they're going to blow, it's probably this one. They did. So, you know, it's not her fault. She was a big story, and of course the media, when they see something hot, they jump on it. One thing you can say is it takes pressure off the players because they're focusing on her, but Michigan, obviously, I figured the game would be even for most of it, but towards the end, Michigan imposed their will, and Louis Chicago were just, they looked flustered. They didn't know what to do. They were just turning the ball over. I saw some bad passes. It was like they just ran out of options towards the end. But they had a memorable run. They were the story of the year, I guess you can say. You had that with at least one tournament. There's always going to be that Cinderella story, and that was one of them, and it was a great story. I mean, overall, it's been a great tournament. And, of course, I really didn't watch much of Villanova, Kansas, because I knew the outcome of that game already. I mean, I think we all knew what was going to happen there. Duke and Kansas pretty much were squaring off that day to see who was going to get bombed by the Villanova. Kansas needed overtime to beat Duke, but Duke wasn't really that good to begin with. I mean, they were good, but they weren't Villanova good. And I guess the golden thing for Kansas was that Duke put the ball in the hands of Grayson Allen, and well, you saw what happened. The why they decided to put the ball in his hands escapes me, one by one. But, yeah, it was a slaughter. And as far as tonight's game, obviously, Villanova is going to be your obvious winner of this. You know, it depends on the flow of the game and the score. I mean, if it's going to be one of those high-scoring games, it's going to be Villanova that's going to, you know, outgun Michigan. Michigan's going to have to play defense, get the ball inside, because that's what was keeping Louis Chicago in the game. Was they kept early on, they kept shooting threes, and they weren't falling. And you know, Michigan tried the logical thing, which was, oh, maybe we should go inside and go for 2 points. Oh, there we go. Yep. Rather than just chucking the ball down, you know, chucking the ball every time you come down the court. But that's what happens when you watch the Golden State Warriors too much. But, I mean, that's Bayline's teams. Then again, you know, Bayline's teams love to shoot threes. We saw that West Virginia as well. They love to gun it. So, yeah, I'm still going Villanova, though. I mean, if Michigan's going to win, it's going to have to be a not so much a low-scoring game, but maybe a game that's in the 60s, early 70s for both teams. They're just got the hope that Villanova has a bad shooting night, basically. That's really their only chance. So, some other tidbits from over the weekend. Well, April Fool's was yesterday, and of course we saw Aaron Donald, I guess, doing some drills with some knives, which was really kind of cool. But you know, if anyone's got practice with live weapons, you know, his drills, it's gonna be Aaron Donald. He's the only guy that we know would do something like this and pull it off. Although he said the knives weren't real, so. Yeah, it was April Fool's, but it was funny, though, to watch him do it. It was him and two other athletes, and of course, it was done, it was recorded at the Pitt Complex, which was awesome. So he's at Pitt doing this stuff. So there you go right there. It's a shame we couldn't get a better angle of the, that whole thing on the top of pit's wall where it's all the pit grates. It would've been cool if they at least got better. I went right through the light. Yeah. I just went through a red light. That sucked. Oh well. And the sad part is, I ain't have my phone in my hands. It's on the freaking. It's on the chair. I was reaching for my coffee. I looked up and yep. Oh Lord. Well, just don't get pulled over. But anyways, he'd be the only one that would be able to pull it off. Now, last thing we have is Levy and Bell. And, of course, Levy obviously wasn't too pleased, or has been too pleased with his contract situation. And, of course, he made a little tweet about being a hero where in a city makes you have to be a villain. And really, with this, it's more like somebody, well, it could be a lot of things. It's cryptic. I don't really think that Le'Veon Bell is a villain at all. I mean, to be a villain, you gotta do villainous things. And he really hasn't done anything villainous. I mean, what's made him to be a bad guy? And of course, wanting more money, demanding more money, doesn't make you a villain. Maybe it makes you a disgruntled worker because you should be getting paid more. But it doesn't make you like a villain. You're just, you know, obviously you feel you should get paid more. That's it. I mean, you're not doesn't make you evil. At plenty of jobs, people want paid more. They want to make more money. That's just part of the business. I mean, that's how it is. People feel they're really good at what they do. They have a lot to offer. And they feel, you know, they're not getting a return back of the work they're doing. And that's probably the case of Le'Veon Bell. I guess all the work he's done, he feels he's not getting the return he desires. But the problem with him is, to get that type of money, you have to be the man in the offense. I mean, he's put up good stats, but he's in an offense right now where the man is Ben Roethlisberger, and of course, the men, of course, are guys like Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. And J.J. Schuster. So that passing game is what people look at. They don't look at the running game as much. So it's just one of those things where he's, you know, maybe with the offensive line they have, that's been improving. Steelers feel maybe that, you know, what they're giving them is enough, and they're giving them, I guess, I think the ballpark was $17 million. That's a lot for running back. My thing is, if you want really big money, what he's asking for, I mean, that's like Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith type money. Actually, more Barry Sanders, because Emma had a really good offensive line to block for him. Whereas Barry pretty much had to juke 11 guys out just to get anywhere. So, I don't think Le'Veon Bell's a villain. If anything, he's probably playing his exit strategy to make it easier for him to leave and for fans. Easier for fans to want him to leave. You know, that's what some athletes do. Or maybe he's not feeling the love, and of course the fans are going to go, "Oh, Le'Veon, you're the hero. We love you. You're no villain to us." I mean, he's not a villain. I mean, he's not evil at all. He's just a guy who wants paid more money. That's all. So, and of course, you know, people are going to, you know, if you're an athlete making millions of dollars, people are going to complain that you want paid more. Well, some of them are, you know, are commuting every day to their jobs and some such. Yeah, of course they're going to complain. But well, guys, I'm done rambling. Hell in a pit. Talk to you later.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.